Let's come to God's Word. And we've already gone quite a bit in the meeting today. Somehow we've been late. But we're going to spend some time in God's Word this morning. Now, we're looking at the life of Joseph. Okay? Amazing, amazing story. Think about it. You know, Abraham, we have four patriarchs in recorded in Genesis, really. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, and then Joseph. There's as many chapters about Joseph as there is about Abraham. There's so few about Isaac, you know. But Joseph, wow, from chapter 37 right up to chapter 50. Yeah, amazing. So he is a very important key figure. He was one of the four patriarchs that we see there. And as you read through his story completely from chapter 37 to chapter 50, I tell you, it beats any Bollywood or Hollywood movie, the twists and the turns of how from being the favored son of the father, he is sold, he is hated by his brothers, sold as a slave, okay? So from being up there, close to the father who gave him this fancy coat that marked him out as special. From special, he becomes a slave. Wow, what a fall! Yeah? And we see the brothers, we see the father, each one of them, and we have no time, you know, to go through from chapter 37 to chapter 50. That's just too many chapters to cover. We could spend weeks in that, but we're looking at a bird's eye view, I'm going to pick out some of the truths from this amazing story. You know, you look at the irony of Jacob. Yeah, you remember Jacob and Esau? What did Jacob do? He stole his brother's birthright. He put out a goat skins on his hands because he was a smooth guy. He didn't have hair, whereas his brother was full of hair. And he put these goat skins on his hands and he presented him to his blind father Isaac, saying, "Hey, I'm your son Esau." And he deceived his father. Now, what happens to Jacob in chapter 37? Okay, Jacob gets deceived by his sons who slaughter. Look at chapter 37, verse 31, where what the brothers did is after they sold Joseph as a slave, verse 31, then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. Okay, so Jacob got deceived by a goat and blood. You know, just the irony of that, how things came back to Jacob. Okay, so, and then we see just the whole thing with Joseph, how from being a slave and being sold as a slave, he holds on to the Lord. That's the amazing thing. And what we're going to look at this morning are four things, time permitting. Okay, we're going to look at the faithfulness of Joseph, first of all. Okay. And let's start with that. But let's just pray. Father, we just thank you so much for our time together. Lord, would you speak to us through this brief time we have in your word? May your word strengthen us. May your word speak to us. May your word build us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we were served wonderfully by Lasia and Shoma. And we saw how Joseph, from being the favored person in his family, was thrown into the pit. From the pit, he was taken to Potiphar's household. From Potiphar's household, he was thrown into prison. And then in prison, you know, what a day that must have been for Joseph. Yeah. One morning, he wakes up in the prison, disheveled, you know, and filthy clothes. And that night, after he meets with Pharaoh, he's shaven. He's got on new clothes and he spends the night in the palace. What a transformation. From the pit to the Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace. You know, this is a blockbuster movie. But that was all covered last week. And for those of you who missed it, I would encourage you to listen to the YouTube videos or the audios that are there on the website. That you know, and we've got wonderful men and women of God who've been preaching on that. But now let's go on to see what happens to Joseph. So first of all, we're going to look at the faithfulness of Joseph through all that happens in his life, the good and the bad. You know, if you notice, it's one thing about Joseph. He's one of the characters in the entire Old Testament where there's one of the major characters where there is no record of him doing anything wrong. Wow, that's notable, isn't it? We have Abraham, the father of faith. Yeah, he goofed up. Yeah, he took Ishmael, he took Hagar as his wife. He lied to the king in Egypt, all these kind of things, and said Sarah is his sister. So even Abraham, the friend of God, you know, sinned. Whereas we see with Joseph, he led a righteous life. There's no record of him doing anything wrong. Okay? And let's see his faithfulness. So in Genesis chapter 37, yeah, we'll just quickly run through there. In Genesis 37 verse 2, this is the account of Joseph. A young man of 17 was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report of them. So here was Joseph's faithfulness. He's one of the youngest. He had a younger brother, Benjamin, but among all the other 10 brothers, 11 brothers, he was the youngest. And he reported faithfully about the wrongdoings of his brother. Okay? So he was righteous in that. Then in verse 13 of Genesis 37, okay, when his father gave him an instruction, go, I'm going to send you to the brothers to find out how they're doing. Will you go there? He was faithful. Young lad of 17, he says, I will go. And he had to travel quite a distance. It wasn't just around the corner. Okay, it was traveling quite a distance. All right. So he was faithful there. Well, what happened to his faithfulness? How was his faithfulness rewarded? Okay. And he was faithful in one more way. He received dreams from God. And he shared those dreams with his father, with his brothers. We saw that last time. And how was his faithfulness rewarded? He was hated by his brothers. They wanted to kill him. And they finally sold him as a slave. Now let's look at Genesis 39. We see Joseph's faithfulness in Potiphar's household. You know, Joseph could have just reacted badly with disappointment and said, Lord, what's this? I'm being good. And here my brothers hate me. I'm sold as a slave, and I'm a slave in somebody's house. Okay? And he could have just said, forget you, God. I'm not interested in you. But what did he do? Look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Even in the midst, even being a slave in Potiphar's house, God did not leave him. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. So here we see that God was with Joseph. Joseph was faithful, and others recognized the blessing of God because of Joseph. So he had success even as a slave. Okay? Then we see Joseph's faithfulness just before verse 20, we see Joseph's faithfulness to God in refusing to give in to Potiphar's wife's desires. She wanted him, but he rejected her. He says, no, I will be committing a sin against God and against my master. And he was faithful there. What happened as a result of his being righteous and faithful? This is what happened. Okay? He was thrown into prison. Verse 20, Genesis 39, verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the palace where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph could have said, Lord, I've kept myself sexually pure. And this is how I'm rewarded, from Potiphar's house to being in the prison. But see what happens. God is with Joseph. He was with Joseph in the pit. He was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. He's now with Joseph in the prison. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Wow, great. Joseph receives favor as a prisoner. Now, in the prison, we know the story where he meets two people, the cupbearer and the baker, who have both been accused of trying to kill Pharaoh. And both of them have dreams. And they wake up one morning. We've heard the story. And they say, oh, I don't know about these dreams, but what do they mean? And what does Joseph do? You know, Joseph could have said, don't talk to me about dreams. I had two dreams and they've landed me here. Yeah? But he was faithful and he interpreted the dreams to them. Wow. He could have said, forget you, I'm not interested. But even though bad things happened to him, he was faithful in serving those prisoners and he shared the dreams. And then we see what happens, you know, that Joseph is then taken. And then you think that's a good thing. Well, he interprets the dreams. The baker is hanged. The cupbearer is restored to his position. And he makes one request to the cupbearer. He says, listen, verse 14, chapter 40. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. Wow. And so that's what he did. He said, I did nothing to be put here in this dungeon. Now, this is what happened. The cupbearer was restored to Pharaoh's service. And then what happened? Verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. So here he's in languishing in prison. He had little hope in this cupbearer that he would speak to Pharaoh about him. And that also was dashed. The cupbearer forgot about him. Not for 1 week or 2 weeks or 2 months. Chapter 41 says, when two full years had passed. How sad to be forgotten like that. Yeah, languishing in prison. But remember this. The cupbearer forgot about Joseph, but God did not forget about Joseph. Because in verse 41, it says, Pharaoh, chapter 41, verse 1, Pharaoh had a dream. See, Joseph's life is a whole sequence of dreams and quotes. That's what it is. Okay, so he had a dream, and that was shared last week about the dream and all that had happened. And we see that, and we know the story. Overnight, Joseph moves from the prison to the palace. He's made the prime minister of Egypt, yeah, given a new robe, given authority, given power, given honor, given recognition. Everything happens to him overnight. God lifts him up. And then Joseph is put in charge of Egypt. But then, even as the prime minister of Egypt, we see how Joseph is faithful to what he had done, to all that is called of him. Okay, in verses 46, was 49 of chapter 41. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Verse 48. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. And in each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. So Joseph was faithful to Pharaoh. He managed the whole of Egypt and all that happened there. Okay? And so we see the faithfulness of Joseph. And then, of course, we see that we come to chapter 42 and we see that the famine not only affected Egypt, but it affected all the other countries surrounding Egypt. And we see that the end of verse of chapter 41, which is verse 57, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Egypt because this famine was severe in all the world. Okay. And then from 42 to the end of 50, we have the whole story of Joseph and his brothers. Okay, I want to encourage you to read it. Yeah, it may take you half an hour to read it, but every time I read it, I'm in tears because we see the hand of God in Joseph. Okay, so let's jump into verse 42, chapter 42. When Joseph learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? Okay, I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die. And the 10 brothers of Joseph go down to Egypt. Now, Joseph was the governor of the land, and he was in charge of selling grain. And so when his brothers arrived, verse 6 of chapter 42, now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. You remember, he had a dream in chapter 37. Chapter 37, verse 7. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. It took 13 plus 7, 22 years or so, 20 plus years for that dream to be fulfilled. What an irony. The brothers come looking to buy grain, sheaves, wheat, and they bow down to Joseph. Okay, and so that dream is fulfilled. So, before we go further, this is what I'd like to share from this. You know, that in the midst, just to go further, that although Joseph had power here now, he was number two in the land. He could just have his brothers executed, put into jail, do whatever he wanted. Okay? But Joseph was faithful to his brothers. Okay, jump with me to chapter 45, verse 3 and all that. You know, so this is what Joseph said. Look at verse 8. Sorry, chapter 45, verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who sold you into Egypt." Chapter 45, verse 5. "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Wow. You know, so here he says, don't be angry. You guys sinned. I know you all wanted to kill me. You all sold me as a slave. But God did it to save lives. Okay. Again, he says the same thing in chapter 50. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me." Yeah? This is chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. What wonderful character we see in Joseph. Yeah, he had every right to punish his brothers, but he responds, he returns good for evil. So we see the faithfulness of Joseph right from being when he was with his father till the time he's in Pharaoh's palace until the time his brothers return and bow down to him. That Joseph was faithful to God. He was faithful in serving people. Now, you know, Joseph had such a trust in the sovereignty of God. He knew that his future was not in the hands of anybody, but was in God's hands. And whatever situation he was in, he says, "I am going to be faithful. I'm going to serve. I'm going to honor God. And I'm going to see how I can bless people." Now, that's a lesson for us. Now, you know, now maybe some of us are going through a difficult situation. There's injustice that you're facing. Yeah, there is trouble. There is adversity. There is hardship. And you're saying, "God, where are you? Why is this injustice happening? Why am I not getting what I've worked for? Why? Yeah? Romans 12, verse 12 tells us, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, persistent in prayer." That's Romans 12, verse 12. Verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." 1 Peter 4:19 says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Okay. So whatever the situation you're in, maybe you're being overlooked for a promotion. Maybe your bonus is not happening. Maybe there's a you're battling an illness, or you're battling a relationship, or something, and you're saying, Lord, what is happening, Lord? Why am I being unfairly treated? Okay, why am I suffering? Why am I struggling with this? And really, what we need to do is we need to commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. That's the first thing. When we say, Lord, I trust that you are in control of my life. Lord, you took Joseph. Lord, he was, you know, from being nothing, from being a prisoner, you made him a prime minister. Wow. It took time, but it happened in your time. Lord. And it says, so the one is we express our trust in God by continuing to serve God, continuing to worship him. Okay. And the second thing we do is we overcome evil with good. Okay. We continue to do good. You see, we can do good when we are rewarded and when we are recognized. But will we do good when we are not rewarded and we are not recognized? That is the test. That is the test. For those of you who are working, you know, and you're saying, I'm working long hours. I'm being exploited by my company. Maybe your salary is reduced. The working hours have increased. You know, every weekend is a working weekend. Yeah, you come home from work and there are meetings. And it is unfair. It is unjust. It is sinful. There's no two ways about it. But as we are faithful, here's a scripture for you. Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You know, we Christians have received double salaries. Okay? It says here, work, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. Okay? Why? Because you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That's a great promise to get hold of, to saying that even as I faithfully serve my company, I know I'll get a salary at the end of the month, but Jesus promises me an inheritance as a reward for my faithful service to my company in the midst of being exploited, mistreated, unfairly treated, all these injustice. In the midst of that, as I'm faithful, I will be rewarded. Amen. So we've no time to continue with the rest of the message, but I believe this is one point that we can take home with us today. Okay, that, hey, let's be faithful where we are. Let's be faithful. And maybe I'll take a couple of minutes to just cover this other point, which is so important, that we need to trust in the sovereignty of God. Our God is above all presidents and prime ministers and everybody else and politicians. Okay, what do I mean by the sovereignty of God? You see, we are seeing a small picture of Joseph's life. Yeah, we've studied his life in these last few weeks. But that's just a small picture of God's big story. And that's what I want you to go home with. Okay? You and I are small bits of God's big story, just like Joseph was a small bit of God's story. What was a small bit? Okay, look at me. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, God appeared to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites had not yet reached its full measure. That's a mouthful. What is God saying? God appeared to Abraham. He was just Abraham and Sarah. That's it. He didn't even have Ishmael at that time. And God is telling Abraham, listen, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your descendants. I'm going to take them from Canaan into another land, Egypt. Okay, they're going to be there for 400 years. They're going to be slaves. Okay, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm taking them out for this time because in this land, the Canaan, where the Canaanites are living, the Amorites, the sin has not yet reached its measure. When their sin increases to a certain measure, then I will judge them and remove them from the land. That is what God is saying. Okay? So God could have taken them out immediately, but he said, not yet. Let their sin increase to a certain measure. So that should give us hope that even in the world, when we see injustice and evil, God is not helpless. He's watching. He says, I'm waiting for it to reach a certain level, and then I will judge that person or that nation or that source of power. Okay? So that's what God said to Abraham. At this time, Abraham had no children, just him. And he says, I will bring you out of that nation, which is Egypt, with great possessions, and you know, and your descendants will come back. How many descendants? Okay. In Genesis chapter 46, verse 26, okay, the story of Joseph, we see that, you know, after Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and he told his brothers, go back to Canaan. There's still more years for the famine. Bring my father Jacob. Bring your families. Bring everything. Forget your possessions. Just come here. You're going to have abundance in Egypt. And that's what they did. In Genesis 46, verse 26, it says, all those who went to Egypt with Jacob, Genesis 46, who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons. With the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt, the members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. 70 people left Canaan and came to Egypt. This is God's plan. Remember, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis about it. And then, after the years of slavery, in Exodus chapter 12, look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. Exodus 12, verse 37. When the Israelites, and we're going to look at that next week, with Moses, left the slavery of Egypt, were set free, were redeemed. Verse 37. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. And theologians put that number to be about 2 million people. Wow. God wanted to multiply his people. That's what he did. He took 70 of them to Egypt. They multiplied to 2 million and he took them out. Isn't that amazing? So we see the sovereignty of God. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph tells his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish now what is being done, the saving of many lives. So even with whatever is happening in India, in the world, let's look at Jesus. God is sovereign. Not one hair of yours will fall to the ground without the Father knowing. Okay? So let's entrust ourselves to God in the midst of challenging times. Say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to you. You are sovereign. Your purposes are being accomplished through whatever is happening. And I want to be part of that. Would you like to be part of that? Okay, let's be part of that. And being part of that means we continue to worship God. We continue to do good. We continue to proclaim the gospel. We continue to pray. We continue to fast. We continue to serve. Right? As we do that, Joseph didn't know that 70 people would become 2 million people. But he was faithful. Let's be faithful as well. Okay? Who knows what God will do in the weeks and in the months and in the years to come. How your faithfulness will result in great blessing to the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can trust in your sovereignty, Lord. We know that in all things you work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We entrust ourselves in your hands, Lord. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would be faithful like Joseph in the midst of injustice and trials and suffering, that your grace would be upon us. And Lord, I pray that you would, like Joseph, raise us up, that we would be blessed and fruitful, and that we would see your name being glorified and your kingdom advancing on this earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you for praying.